Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
We're talking about harvest. We're going to get right into the scripture. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 through 8, and then we're going to go through verses 18 through 23, and the responding verses you'll find on the screen behind me. Starts out this way. Then he spoke many things to them in parables. Behold, a sower went out to sow. And some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower.
When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside.
But he who receives the seed on the stony places is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Now, he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Verse 23 together. But he who received the seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who bears root, produces 100, some 60, and some 30. Let's pray. Father, today, hallelujah. Hallelujah, glory to God. Lord, if nothing else, we're just going to begin our whole process of learning what to do, how to sow seed, and how to expect a harvest in your kingdom. And God, I pray that the prophetic part of the Holy Spirit would use me today to really prophesy into people who have experienced barrenness for a long period of time, dryness, drought, and all those different things. Lord, there would be not just an excitement, Lord, but there would be an engagement of hearts once again for the word of God to take root in them and to produce a harvest of souls in the kingdom. Holy Spirit, we just speak now to those people who are in a dry place, that the water of the Spirit would come upon them today, and there would be great things of words of life that would spring up to everlasting life in the lives of other people. Holy Spirit, be our teacher today, and we'll give you all the praise, the honor, and glory, for we ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus and all God's people said.
Amen.
You may be seated. I'm glad you're here today because, you know, when you have the first holiday of the season, people can depart. They find the beach and they find other things. And nothing wrong with that. I'm not here to blast anybody for that. But I'm glad you're here because Jesus has you here for a reason. And I hope that you allow me to do a little more teaching than preaching today, I hope. But if I get inspired and I preach too, that's okay. So I'm just setting the groundwork. But there's some things I believe the Holy Spirit gave me that I want to make sure I don't miss them, because it's laying the groundwork for what we're going to be doing the next few weeks and however God wants us to do this. And the whole backdrop is about harvest. I think I got my little screen up there. Oh, that's kind of a wheat field with my little overlay on top of it. And there's some things we're going to learn about that today. I think that'll be very helpful to you. Anybody remember the old term, sowing wild oats? Anybody who remember that? Yes, Lord. Those who don't know what it means, ask them later on. But that's a crop you don't want. But if you're irresponsible, it will happen to you. And once that crop is sown, there'll be consequences for the rest of your life. And sometimes those consequences produce other life. I don't need to draw any pictures or graphs here. But sometimes you sow not with that intention, but there are things that will follow you all the days of your life. I want to tell you that God is in the sowing business. But what I want to teach you today is how to sow the way God wants you to sow. That will spring up into eternal life in the lives of people. There's just three things we'll talk about. First of all, did you ever realize that truth and error are planted in the life of everyone? You say, what? We'll get to that little portion of scripture in a few moments. But every one of you right now have something in your life that you believe to be true that is not true. And it's going to take the word of God to expose to you that you believed a lie all of your life. Or God has to change your perspective on something. Oh, that's what that means. But it's living in you right now. That's the reason why we're going to get to the wheats and tares. I hope we get to that today. If we don't, it's okay. I'm not going to rush through this whole teaching because this is something that will change your life and your perspective on sowing for the harvest that God wants to give you. Second thing is this. Jesus will sow tares to grow in our life along with good seed he has planted. The enemy will do that. Will allow tares. Jesus will allow tares. Say, well, why God allow that me to believe that all these years, and now I found out it just isn't true. And you feel like I should have known better. You know what will cause you to know better? Getting older. There are some things I would run down the street for when I was young that I would not cross the street for now that I'm older. You understand what I'm saying? It was important then, but right now, no, I'm good. I would stay up till past midnight. If you can get me past 10, that's good. That's a good night. Because I thought, ain't nothing good happening after 10 o'clock anyway. But it took me a long time to figure that out. But anyway, moving on. Here we go. The final result as we mature in Christ is his truth that will remain. I want you to become productive, and we're getting into this whole cycle of sowing and reaping, and I believe it's going to breed in you not only excitement, but a desire to really sow good seed. Well, but the risk of sowing seed in Matthew 13, verses 2 and 3, this is what he says. Great multitudes were gathered together to him, and so he got into the boat and sat down, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spoke to them many things to them in the parable, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. Here's my question for you. What are you sowing? What? What are you sowing? Nothing. Yes, you are.
That's right.
Amen. Either you're sowing good seed or you're sowing bad seed, but you are not neutral.
That's true.
I want to help some of you who've got bad attitudes. You're negative, you're talking down all the time, you find the bad thing in everything, you're complaining, you're a whiner, you're all those type of things. You are sowing seed every day of your life. And you know something? You're on the wrong team. God wants to turn you around so you'll be on his team. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. And we need to be talking about what God's doing and stop talking about what the devil's doing. Oh, Jesus, help me. I thought I was going to teach, but I may have to preach. Because here's the deal. You have given too much glory to the devil. Acknowledging all the stuff he's doing. How about you acknowledging that this is a day the Lord hath made and I will rejoice and be glad in it. The Bible says that the redeemed of the Lord say so. Who did you tell today you've been redeemed? Who did you bypass that needs to know there's hope in the world? You just walk past them. Well, I hope it gets better. No, it won't get better until you tell them to who to go to make it better. You hear what I'm saying? You have the answer within you all this time and you haven't told anybody. Oh, help me, Jesus. The word of God is powerful and filled with potential. Potential in your pocket does no good. But when you take it out and you sow it, it brings back a return. I don't care how much money you got in the bank. Leave it there. Well, I'm getting interest on my money. You have 0.3587%. I dare you to take a risk and sow it into something that you'll get a return. Because I'll tell you what, sowing seed is risky. If you don't believe it, read this parable. Because remember, Though if the seed is the word of God, all of the word of God is good. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But it depends on the ground that it lands in as to whether or not you're going to get a harvest. But that doesn't mean you stop sowing the seed. You're not responsible for the ground. You're responsible for the seed that you're sowing. Oh, they don't want to hear. I don't care whether you think they want to hear it or not. God's got a way of getting through them. But that's no excuse for you not to sow what God's given you to sow. Well, here we go. So when we make choices as to whether we will listen to the word of God, which has power to change our lives, people will make that choice. But you don't have to make the choice for them. Our position and condition will determine the impact of the word of God that will be in our lives. Now, listen to this. We must come prepared to receive the word without distractions. I want to tell you something. This is a fact. Before you leave this room today, in the next, let's see how many minutes I got. Ooh, I got more minutes than I normally have. Ooh, glory. Thank you. You will leave this room without leaving this room at least 25 times before I'm finished. You'll be at home working on something. You'll be planning your menu for this afternoon's barbecue. You'll be thinking about something. Your mind will go different places unless you're focused in on what the Word of God wants to do. I want to tell you that will happen to you whether you like it or not, because we somehow have allowed that into our life. Oh, you know, that's for somebody else. So we just kind of sort and pick through things. I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit wants us to be able to focus on the good seed of God so it can change us. But the devil sows a tear in there and we get distracted going the other direction. Wow. You say, well, how do you know that? Because I do it myself. Now, why do you need to balance your checkbook in the middle of service? Will you help me with that? Why do you need to check your email? Why? All of a sudden it becomes the most urgent thing in your mind. Oh, I wonder what's going on. I'm going to leave it alone. I'm going to try. Our heart must be open to receive. We must have a thirst that only the word can fill. My question to you right now, did you come thirsty for God? Some of you didn't. Now, it's not an indictment. It's a fact. You came for the worship part. You came to just kind of put a notch on there. Did the Sunday thing. I can go on with my life. But when we're thirsty for the word of God, we won't be satisfied until that part of us has been filled by the Spirit. If there's nothing else I want to create in the next few weeks, it'll be a real thirst for the word of God, that which God wants to say to you will get right where he wants it to be, and you'll leave here a changed individual. I say this from the pulpit to the door. God has something for you. And what about this? We must not allow the birds of distraction to consume the word of God before it can be find a lodging place in our hearts. Because he lies this thing out here. He says, word gets sown, distractions come along, and before you're ready to get that word of God, here comes that little thought in your mind. Did I or didn't I do so and so? Is this the day I'm supposed to do such and such? Blah, 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 blah. Well, here we go. The stony hard places in our heart will prevent the word of God from finding root in us. That means, and let me tell you what stony hard places look like. Emotions. Emotions will glaze over the ground where the word of God wants to get in. It's sometimes the only time we can get through. You have to be in the right mood. Guys, women are not the only moody people on this planet. I'm going to give you something I learned in psychology. I was a psychology major at Portland State, PSU. In the same way that women have to go through a difficult season on a monthly basis, that's the best way I can say it, men have a 40-day cycle. An emotional cycle. And here's how it works. Everything's going on, and around the 38th, 39th day, all of a sudden they just feel like they just become very just disengaged on every type of thing. Men have emotional cycles, and that's the reason why some of them have midlife crises. They just don't know how to shut that cycle down. They go buy their Corvette. Or they, you know, ditch mama and find a blonde, you know, but anyway. Because it's tied to your emotions. And I want to help all of us today about this whole emotional piece. Our emotions can be a great obstacle to prevent the word from finding root in us. Your root of emotion will dismiss what God has to say to you. Well, I just don't really feel like that today. Do not let your feelings interrupt the work of the Spirit in your life. Did you ever have a mama that would give you castor oil? Raise your hand if you've been persecuted. Castor oil is nasty. She says, I don't care what it smells like, drink it. Open your mouth. And you go, and finally she shoves it, oh, this tastes horrible. But the result was good. Listen to me. I don't care what it smells like. I don't care what it looks like. Don't let your emotions talk you out of what God has for you, because God needs to get it inside of you to change you. I'm good. No, you're not. You're crazy. Move on. Okay. The depth of word that's will determine by the time we allow, by the time we allow the word to be established in us. Because here's how it works. We live in a society right now that everything's instantaneous. Click, flash, you know, and you get faster and faster and faster computers. I don't want to get distracted with that whole thing because I know a lot of new technology is out now. I'm not going to spoil it with that. But there's some things you have to wait on. Wait on the Lord, and he will renew your strength. Then you'll be able to mount up with wings of eagles. Then you'll be able to run and not be weary. And then you'll be able to walk and not faint. But you don't want to wait. I want it now. And God said, hold on. That's why you're in trouble right now. That's why those window envelopes keep coming to your house. You know, I talk about window envelopes. That means you're going to be some sort of response. Is imminent because you didn't wait on God. You say, what's that got to do with sowing? This is the hard places in your life that the rocks in our heart will hinder truth from displacing the effects of tares in the soil of our life. Let me move on. Seeds that fall among thorns will not be able to take the rightful place because the thorns of bad habits and lifestyle choices will choke out the good fruit of the seed. Repeat after me. Bad habits. Corrupt. Good morals. I know you heard that before, but you don't believe it. You think your bad habits aren't that bad. It's just the way I do things. I know there's probably a better way to do it, but I'm just so used to doing it that way. That's your problem. You have accepted bad habits as being the vehicle that's going to get you where you'll never get. You need to change your habit pattern. How's it been working? Well, it hasn't worked so far, but if I keep working at it, it's going to work one day. How dumb is that? All right, I'm going to go there. You are always late. Always late. And you know what they'll say? Well, they should know that's who I am. Really? They should know not to expect me on time because I've just got a habit of being late. But does that make it okay? No, it doesn't. It chokes out the life of the good seed God's trying to plant because God's on a time schedule and he's not going to adjust his schedule to your habits. Whew, I know that's shaking up somebody right now. Oh, I thought, well, that's just, I just got to be me. No, you don't. You got to change. You're still talking about sowing seeds, so hang on there. Our attitude towards sin will give it the right of way instead of purging it from our lives. Everybody's got faults. I'm not talking about faults. I'm talking about sin. You know, nobody's perfect. But God is supposed to be perfecting us. And the way he perfects us, he calls us out and says, you know what? You need to leave home 10 minutes earlier so you can be on time. And we start rebuking the devil. Oh, I'm good. I had an interesting situation the other day. Anybody been affected by Portland traffic at all? I said, anybody not been affected by Portland traffic? What you used to be able to leave home 10 minutes before, you need to tack on 15 or 20 more. But you can sit in your car and say, that's just not fair. I used to be able to get there in 10 minutes, and now I'm 15 minutes, and you've known this all along, but somehow you thought it's going to adjust to the way you think. Your thinking is warped. You're going to have to change in order for you to be who you need to be. It's not going to change for you. It's a situation that you're in. Well, and you know, and I was late because of the traffic. No, you were late because you didn't leave early enough. Clue phone's been ringing, pick it up. Thorns will blind us to our bad choices that will destroy the fruit of good seed. Anybody in here never made a bad choice? Thank you. You all can go to heaven. Choices are something that God gives to us. But do not use choices as an excuse to continue bad behavior. Well, I'm free to make that particular choice, and I just prefer doing... No. God put it this way. I set before you life and death, blessing and cursings. And you know, because we are so stupid, God gives us the answer. I would that you choose life. You know why? And you know why I love that scripture? Because God wants you to succeed so badly, he gives you the answer so you can't say, I didn't know which one to choose. I was just so confused. I just didn't know whether I could choose life or death. Is it so complicated? But he says it, and now this is the way he does it. Not to force it. He says, I would that you choose life. But the choice is still up to you to choose death. A loving father, and I know many of you who have children, have learned that there are times you need to let their children make their own choices, even though you know the answer. You kind of give them a hint that this road isn't probably one you want to be on, but the choice is yours. If you want to be poverty-stricken on the streets and homeless, go ahead. Go ahead. Not a good idea, but don't become crying to me and think you're going to sleep on my back porch. Oh, no, you folks are too enabling for that kind of stuff. Let me move on to another place. We must take responsibility for the condition of the soil in our hearts. Jeremiah 17, verses 9 through 10. This is going to be a good place. Here we go. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? How many times have you heard someone say, he's really got a good heart? No, he doesn't. He's got a good heart, but he just does stupid stuff. But he's got a good heart. That does not qualify. So stop saying that. You need to say something like, his heart needs to change. Because his condition of where he is right now is a result of him making decisions that are lifestyles that he does not want to abandon. Why don't you start telling the truth? Underneath all of that, he's a good boy. She's a good girl. And with your enabling self, you are locking them into a lifestyle that will never change. Sometimes love has to confront the issue. You know, they gave it a word phrase some while ago called tough love. There's no such thing as tough love. It's called real love. Real love will tell you the truth. And they'll settle before them in such a way that things can happen. So let's unpack this for a moment or two, and I think it'll be helpful to all of us. So Jeremiah says this. He says, I search the heart. I test the mind. Even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Oh my goodness. If you haven't written down the scripture, write this one down. Because there is no such thing as a victim in this context. I, the Lord, search the heart, test the mind, even to give every man according to his there is a way that seemeth right unto man, and the end thereof is the ways of death. It looks right, it feels right, it seems right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I don't care what you think, but the enemy will deceive you into thinking the wrong things. But God gives us truth that we can understand his ways. The good seed of the Lord is often sowed in the hearts of people that are indifferent toward truth. That's an interesting word, indifferent. All's truth. There's a little bit of truth in everything. Really? Do you know what is in rat poison? Rat poison is 92% or 87%, I don't care what it is, cornmeal. 13% poison. What will kill you, the cornmeal or the poison? Oh, this really tastes good. See, it doesn't go down, so I think I'm dying. Because it's going down, it tastes pretty good. But it says on the rat poison. But it couldn't be rat poison. This is cornmeal. We convince ourselves into believing things that just aren't true. Well, what does that mean? It means we must choose to meditate on the word of the Lord. Choosing to hide the word of God in our hearts will dislodge the things of the world that it's trying to displace. The word of the Lord will take priority over everything else. Those with who are shallow in their commitment to the Lord will have divided loyalties. This is when Jesus explained to them why the seed didn't succeed. I know friendship means a lot to me. I have some amazing, amazing friends. I really do. And my friends are for life. They just are. And I'm so thankful and grateful for them. Everyone needs that. But when you have a friend that have divided loyalty, you don't have a friend. I'm sometimes your friend, but you know there's sometimes I want to kick it with him. And I know you two don't get, but yeah. Let that one go. But if we are not with the Lord, we are totally his enemy. This is the scripture. This is, Jesus said this, he who is not with me is against me. I should have written down the address for that, but it's in the Bible. But there's the next part of that verse. He who does not gather with me scatters abroad. They're just not neutral. They're a part of the enemy's camp, and they're causing chaos, and they're going directly against the things of God. You need to stop and assess the people you call friends in your life, and find out whose team they are on. If they're not on Jesus' team, if at best they can be an acquaintance. But do not label them as a friend. The Bible says a friend loveth at all times. Even when it's hard, it says, you know, dude, I need to talk to you about this because what you're doing or the choices you're making really aren't good choices. That's a real friend. He said, well, I wasn't going to say anything to you because, you know, I really value our friendship and I wouldn't want you to be mad at me. You are not my friend. You are your friend. You are thinking about you, not me. You don't want me to leave you because something about me you like and you feel like I'm going to go away. You need me in your life. And so you're going to let me go to hell and not tell me the truth. You are not my friend. Clue phone, pick it up. Our hidden agendas will surface if we do not allow the word of God to take root. Hidden agendas. Ever had somebody, you're kind of hanging out with them and you do this type of thing, then all of a sudden the reason why you found out they're hanging out with you is because you work at Nike? They want something from you. It's called the hookup. Excuse me, you know, I understand that they'll make a distinction. I know that your cousin's boyfriend's sister's, animal trainer, best friend, works at Nike. I was wondering if you could give me a pass so I can give me some shoes. Pitiful! But that's what we do. Our understanding of the word will be inhibited by our lack of devotion to truth. Let me get to part C. It says, those who are cluttered with the culture. Culture is cares of this world. Culture means this. The soil that is filled with the things of this world. What about this? Materialism that takes its form in social media and removes holy convictions. Now, can I just pause for a minute and let you know that I am not going to take a rant on social media as it's the devil incarnate, because it's not. I think you can find value in it. Very little, but there's value. But my point in this is people will get themselves so locked up in devices and apps and things that have been created, they don't have real connection with the real world. And the Lord, I don't know, when he wrote this particular parable, now remember, parable is a story that is taking place that will give you an idea or a concept of, in real life, of what, how you can apply it, that will show you what are the principles of the kingdom. But this particular portion here, I wrote it down to say, we're cluttered with the culture. That means that thoughts and actions that displace the values of the kingdom of God. Now, when you talk about things about kingdom, kingdom means this, that there is it's an existence or a kingdom, as it were, that oftentimes the world will not identify. Say, oh, you're a church. No, I don't go. No, and we try to, we give them all the things that we're not, and we don't tell them who we are. I'm not talking about the institution, but I'm talking about the Jesus that lives inside of you. The seed that's taken root in you that cannot be destroyed. And so as we get into this whole tear principle in just a moment, you're going to find out some interesting things about things that are planted in you that can be disrooted by the culture. So that being the case, moving forward, he says this, let the wheat and tares grow together, Matthew 13:30. Let them both grow together until the harvest. At the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. That particular scripture can cause you a little bit of angst, and some of you may be even a little confused as to whether why God would allow there to be tares to be sown into our life. Why doesn't he uproot all of the, shall I say, falsehoods or things in our life so we can just be kind of pure wheat? Well, we'll examine that. I think I got a picture for us. Will you throw the picture up on the screen, please? Here we go. On the right is wheat, fully mature. On the left is a tear, fully mature. In the middle, which one is that? Anybody know? Take a guess, which one is it? Is it wheat? Is it a tear? How many vote for wheat? How many vote for tear? Ha 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 ha. You don't know yet. till harvest comes. Because they look exactly the same. That's why the Lord says, he says, oh, here's another thing. You're not going to like this at all. They both draw from the same root system. I checked out my facts several times. I said, that don't make sense to me. So I went to another source. And I said, I don't like that one. I went to another. They both grow from the same root system. But as time goes on, they expose themselves for what they truly are. Some of you have had enlightenment in your life over things that you thought were true. I'll go with the basic one. When you were a kid, back in our days, you believed in Santa Claus. Until you found out Santa Claus could not be in three different stores. Is that right? How'd that work? He's amazing, now he's a Sears. How do you do that? And then all of a sudden you're thinking, is it possible that Santa isn't real? Now, I don't want to make it that simplistic, because it isn't. And let me move forward just a little bit further. That'll help us to unpack this little segment. We must learn what it truly means to be sanctified. And if I finish this portion, that'll be good enough for today. John chapter 17, verse 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. My background is, I grew up in a holiness church, sanctified church, holy roller church, whatever you want to call it. And the problem was, our church thought we were better than the Baptists. And you pipe-smoking Presbyterians. Cocktail-drinking Presbyterians. Lipstick-wearing Presbyterians. Open-toed shoe-wearing. And you alcohol-drinking Catholics. We're holy. Thank you, Jesus. We did not drink, smoke, or chew. Or run with those who do. We're saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And as mean as Joe Green. You want me some mean folks? Let me take you to a sanctified church. Cut them off in traffic. Well, let me leave that alone, because some of y'all are getting a little convicted. Let me symbolize this. Truth and error are planted within us. They're planted within us. And you know where you got some of the error? From your mama. Mother! From your daddy. From your cousin. From your homies. Now remember, you're Christian. But it takes time and maturity in the Word of God for you to be able to rightly divide the Word of truth. Is that not true? Because I had some scary beliefs. Scary beliefs. But it took the Word of God to dislodge those beliefs. But they were right, they were growing right alongside of the things that I knew were in the Bible, where it talks about, you know, sexual purity and the other types. We can spouse, just abstain from this and abstain from that. But when we spin it off and we make it something that it didn't say, that's where we find our problems. Don't add to the Word of God. His good seed will produce what it's supposed to produce. Let me get a little bit further. Well, as we grow in the Lord, we will discover what is of God and what is not of God. Now, listen to this carefully, because we'll probably only finish this section today. Sanctification is a process by which the Holy Spirit will allow us to discover the depth of our planting in the Lord. Now, let me tell you this. Sanctification does not mean holiness. You say, what? When I said I sanctified, that means like I've been washed in bleach. Bleached out all them spots out of my garments. Standing white before the Lord. Sanctified. Ha! Thank you, Jesus. Ha! Glory to God. You know what I'm talking about. First Sunday where they wear their white dresses. And don't come near the communion table. And ladies with white dresses, they'll knock you down. But I need to tell you about sanctification. Sanctification is not holiness. Do you know what sanctification means? It means that you are set apart for a reason. That God set you apart and he has designed for you. It doesn't make you perfect, but you are willing to live under the subscribes of the Spirit. And if God says, don't go there, you ain't going. Can nobody drag you there? Your no means no. It's not no because I don't want to. It's no because Jesus said it's no, and I don't need to know the answer why it's no. Because I know, when they used to say no to us, and we sneak out the dough. When you're not looking and do what we're not supposed to do, we come back and say, I ain't been nowhere. Did you do that? No, I didn't do that. Got to tell you the story real quick. The one and only time I smoked cigarettes, my friends across the street, house across the street. Now, I have to admit that they were given over to things of the world. I remember it was Parliament cigarettes when they came out in 1954. Some of y'all remember the blue package. And so Gary has invited me over there. He said, we got some cigarettes over here. And I knew better. But I'm going to have me some cigarettes because they're having cigarettes. And so I took a drag off, you know, and I'm trying to pretend like I'm enjoying this. Didn't inhale anything. Just don't be laughing. You probably did the same thing. Anyway. But I knew Mama was going to be home around 5 o'clock. Anybody remember Ipana toothpaste with Bucky Beaver or whatever his name was? Brush your, new Ipana toothpaste. Do you remember that? You other folks, you have missed a treat. Anyway, so I went home after this and I almost emptied the tube of toothpaste trying to purge the smell out of my mouth. Destroyed the bathroom. There's toothpaste everywhere. The tube is empty, and then now there's a tip off. Anyway, Mama comes in the door. I'm sitting down reading the book. You know that's a setup. That's a setup. Ipana smell is reeking through the house. Now, when your mama calls you your first and middle name, anybody know that's not good? Richard Allen? That's all she had to say.
I didn't mean it to her, Mama. I was over there in that house, and they were smoking cigarettes, and I lived in Parliament, and I smoked it, and I used all the toothpaste, and I'm so sorry.
Sanctified. But you know, I thought those cigarettes were going to send me to hell. Yes, I did. Unless I got that more than that taste, I repented for that for days. Let me finish this little section here, and we're going to pick this up again next week. We really know when we are sanctified when the tares that are in our life do not affect us in any way. That's what sanctification is all about. Here's some qualities as a team comes forward. We lose the desire to do things that we've done in the past. Come on, give God a hand. All of a sudden, it doesn't appeal to you anymore. You'd rather spend time in the presence of God. It doesn't compete with the presence of God in your life. See, those of you who are saying, I guess I spent some time doing this. I'm going to try to give God equal time. Would you leave that religious spirit alone? And would you come to the conclusion here that once you realize you've been sanctified and set apart by the Spirit of God, The tares that are in your life are only there to remind you that there's something real going on. It's to expose you of what's not real. Furthermore, consider this. Things that were once temptation are measured against the power of the Holy Spirit to resist them. Some of you are afraid of temptation because you think temptation will take you out. And I think it's okay to take precautionary measures, you know, away from various things. You know, you got a problem with pornography and this type of thing, cut the cable cord or whatever it is, or put in all those kind of screens. But I'll tell you what, there'll come a day when you'll bypass or you'll go someplace else to get it. Because when we try to do it artificially, it doesn't work. I've seen people pour out all alcohol, bottle after bottle after bottle after bottle. But when that thing hit them hard enough, they went to the store and bought another one. Some people who've overcome alcohol, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? This is my last drink. This is the last one. I'm going to make it a good one. This is the last one. You know what I'm talking about? But when you realize you've been sanctified, that you have purpose, you have direction, and God has placed it in your life, the Bible says, what can separate me from the love of God? Neither height nor depth, nor things present, nor things to come. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. So when we've been separated already by the power of God's Holy Spirit, we're standing here with Him, and God says, you know, you're secure in me. And I'm producing something in you that's going to produce a crop that'll bring forth fruit. Why do the wheat and tares grow together? Let me just answer it real quickly. When harvest comes, the Bible says the tares stand straight up. The wheat bows in submission. Everything in your life that ain't no good will stand straight up. And God says, that's easy. Go out there, pull all that stuff, burn it up, then bring the wheat into my storehouse. Jesus wants to do something for some people here today to sanctify you with purpose and direction for the harvest He's sowing in your life. Let's pray. Oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus. Lord, I feel and sense and know there are people in this room today that just the simple illustration has helped them to realize that they're not crazy. Because in their life, they've had things that have been negative growing right along the thing side, the things that are actual wheat in their life. And some of them have lived under the spirit of intimidation and saying, well, how can I really serve Jesus when there seem to be things that would want to compete with the resolve I have to allow to be fruitful? And some of them have unsuccessfully have been petitioning and felt like there's something they could do other than rely upon your spirit to decipher between what's good and what's not so good. Lord, next week we'll celebrate the advent of the Holy Spirit, but Lord, today I want to make people aware of the fact that the Holy Spirit is living in them now to point out to them those things that need to be abandoned, that they can resist the devil and he will flee from them. They don't have to flee from him. In the name of Jesus. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I really feel something in my spirit right now for some people that are in this room that have been through a struggle, maybe for the last weeks, maybe for the last months, maybe for all your life, I don't know. But today somehow you understand that God has a crop of wheat sowed in your life. And they need to not focus on the tares, But focus on the fact that God's going to take them through that at the right time when harvest time comes. Those things will be eliminated and there will be something fruitful coming out of their life. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to talk to some people today that are struggling. That's the only word I can find the Holy Spirit would let me use. And along with those who are struggling could be believers, but there's also some people here that have not turned their life over to God, but they thought they'd never be good enough to be a Christian because they've made some choices that they don't really feel good about. But somehow today, your Holy Spirit says to them, they can rely upon you because the good seed of God's word has been sowed in them and they can have a relationship with you because, Lord, you said, let them grow together. I'm in control. I don't want to displace anything good in their life trying to go after something bad. Let me pray. Father, would you give us confidence? Would you give us your Holy Spirit in such a way that we today would come to you and allow the sanctification of your word to take its rightful place in us. And we, above all other things, would trust you to finish that work in our hearts. And for those, Lord, who've come today saying, you know, I didn't believe that God, now I understand it, that the word of God I've heard many times, but now I need to give it priority and preeminence in my life. I'm willing to surrender to the power of the word of God today and give myself totally over to Jesus and allow him to work in my life. Either of those situations, if that's you, just lift your hand and say, yep, I want to do that today. I want to do that. Lift it up high. God bless you. God bless you. Somebody else says, yeah, that's me. Yeah, God bless you right there. Yeah. Would you all stand to your feet? Those of you who just want to come for a moment of prayer today, have someone pray with you, just step out now. Just come on, come on down. Listen.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.